Greetings, dark friends. It's so nice to see that you've returned to hear episode 4, The Moonite People, and our ongoing story, Wraiths of the Appalachian. If you find yourself here by accident, expecting to hear a standalone spooky story, no worries. You can just back out of this episode and scroll back to season 1, where the individual short horror stories live. That's it. Just back up, slowly, very slowly. We'll wait. Go on now. That's right. Okay, good. They're gone. So let's get started with episode 4 before they wander back in. Chapter 4, The Moon-Eyed People. Snarly Owl was sitting up in the passenger seat watching for Eddie as he made his way back to the van. Okay, we're all set, boy. Eddie pulled the van onto the 2-lane paved road that looped the Fort Mountain State Campground and drove slowly as he made his way to the lot the park attendant had suggested. There were a few cars in the parking lot, and a family with 3 children were just getting out of their SUV, which was parked directly behind Eddie's van across the lot. A teenaged boy in a gray hoodie helped his mother free a tow-headed toddler from a car seat, while the dad chatted with a ponytailed girl who appeared to be of middle school age. The man stopped and watched Eddie with narrowed eyes as Eddie got out of his van. I guess a parent might be a bit suspicious of a lone male in a place like this these days, and being black just takes it up a notch for a lot of white folks. Just hope he doesn't freak out when he sees Snarly. Be cool, Snarls, my man, Eddie said softly as he opened the side door. Snarly immediately jumped out and shook his thick body as if he'd just climbed out of a pond. The mother and teenager looked up briefly at the sound of the second door opening on Eddie's van, but gave only a cursory glance in Eddie's direction. The father looked at Eddie for a moment longer before turning back to his daughter, who was still asking questions about what the family had planned for the day. Are we going to see the wall, Dad? You know, I really want to see the wall. Geez, give it a rest, Barb, her older brother said. Everybody between here and Jacksonville knows you want to see the wall. Snarly stood still and watched, his massive head tracking each person's movement as the family made their way across the lot toward a sign which indicated the beginning of an ascending trail. Even the toddler didn't seem interested in the huge wolfhound who studied them. Wow, they're not fazed at all. I guess they're used to big dogs, Eddie thought. He walked around to the back of the van and raised the back door to get the supplies they would need to haul to the campsite. He filled 2 Ziploc bags with dry dog food and threw a can of Frank's and beans, some bread, and a jar of peanut butter into the backpack. He knew that he would have to carry it by hand since he had decided to use the tent this trip, which he would strap on his back. He put his hatchet and several bottles of water into his canvas carryall, which also held a change of clothes, and set them on the asphalt behind the van. He paused briefly and looked at the guitar. No way this time. I hate leaving it in the van again, but I don't have enough arms. Making sure that the instrument was concealed from prying eyes with the old blanket, Eddie strapped his sleeping bag and pad to the backpack which held his tent, slipped his arms through the straps, and closed and locked the back door. Snarly Owl watched as Eddie checked the other 3 doors to make sure they too were locked before coming to kneel beside him and the backpack and carryall. All right, let's get you dressed up. When Eddie leaned in to fasten the newly purchased harness around Snarly's neck, the dog growled and backed away. Oh boy, easy does it. Snarly eyed Eddie warily. I hate to have to do this, fella, but the campground has its rules. He moved in again, and this time the wolfhound bared his teeth and gave a single deep bark. Eddie fell back on his butt onto the hard asphalt. Okay, take it easy. Snarly stood, staring at Eddie intently as Eddie rose and brushed the dirt and small pebbles from his jeans. Maybe we can try this without the leash since there's no one around, but you're going to have to be cool if we do come across somebody on the trail. Snarly sat and thumped his tail twice. Eddie shoved the harness and leash into the carryall. All right, let's head out then. Eddie picked up the backpack and the bag and began walking the length of the parking lot toward where, according to the map, he would find the trail that led to his campsite. Snarly fell in behind him, apparently with no further concerns. When a young couple in their 20s emerged from the wooded trail just as Eddie had almost reached the end of the lot, he held his breath and prayed silently that Snarly would ignore them and that they would not cause a scene about the dog being off leash. Eddie gave a weak smile and said hi as he passed them. They smiled back with polite but soft greetings and continued walking without breaking stride. Eddie turned back to see how they fared with Snarly, but they passed by him with no acknowledgement at all. Man, these people are a lot cooler about big strange dogs than I am. Although the spring day had been only mildly warm, the coolness of the shade once Eddie entered the woods was noticeable, a factor for which he was soon grateful, for the exertion of hiking with all of his camping gear wore on him rather quickly. About a quarter of an hour later, they came to a sign indicating their site beside a slightly overgrown path that led to a small clearing with a fire ring. "Home sweet home, boy. What do you think?" Eddie set the bags down and slid out of the backpack. Even though he hadn't camped in nearly a year, his tent, complete with rainfly, was pitched and ready for use with his meager gear stored away in less than 5 minutes. "We were lucky we didn't have any rain last night, but I don't want to take any chances since we're a mile away from the van this time." He looked around the site and his surroundings. "Pretty nice though, huh? Should be pretty private." He looked up at the sky. "We've got a couple of hours of sunlight left. What do you say we search the area a bit for some dry wood for the fire?" Eddie had Sterno cans, but he thought he'd rather save them for when other fuel wasn't available. As Eddie gathered limbs that he could chop into suitable firewood for the night, Snarly Owl stayed within sight. He investigated their surroundings, although he seemed especially interested in the scent of something that had recently passed through the area. After chopping the branches and creating a decent supply of fuel for cooking and for a pleasant evening sitting outside the tent, Eddie studied the sky again with his hands on his hips. Snarly looked up from a stump that he had been sniffing intently and looked back at Eddie expectantly. "You know, we could go for a walk if you'd let me put that harness on you," Eddie said as he eyed his companion. Snarly sat and thumped his tail twice on the ground. Eddie frowned and rubbed his chin. "You will let me put that harness on?" Snarly huffed and lay down, averting his eyes from Eddie. "Still no go, huh? But what if we meet some other folks on the trail? Could I trust you to be cool and not frighten them, even if they happen to have a yappy little dog that gets in your face?" Thump, thump. Eddie studied the wolf dog and said, "Well, I guess when I invited you, I signed on for your terms. Let's check out what's further on down the trail." Eddie grabbed a bottle of water and Snarly Owl fell in stride beside him. They'd been walking for about 20 minutes when Snarly stopped in his tracks, his eyes set straight ahead and his nose quivering as he sniffed the air. Within seconds, Eddie heard the sound of leaves crunching underfoot, which was immediately followed by the appearance of two bearded young men at the curve of the trail ahead of Eddie and Snarly Owl. They both wore sleeveless t-shirts, one with an Auburn University symbol and the other with a Bigfoot caricature. Eddie stepped off to the side of the trail to allow them to pass, even though the path was wide enough for all of them, and offered a smile he hoped looked friendly enough to excuse his dog being off leash. Both fellows grinned and nodded. "The wall's up this way, right?" the dark-haired one asked. "Yeah, but it's at least 2 miles or so," Eddie said. He looked at Snarly, who looked intently at the two men but gave no sign that he would try to get any closer than where he stood beside Eddie. "I hear there's some showers not far from here," Eddie asked. "Yeah," said the Bigfoot fan. He gestured back the way they'd come. "Just beyond the curve, you'll see the tent and trailer sites, and the shelter for the restrooms and showers is on this end of that section." "Thanks," Eddie said. "Well, we'll be on our way, I guess." The two men looked at each other with slightly puzzled grins and then nodded again pleasantly and resumed their hike. Eddie nodded at them in parting and moved slowly on down the trail toward the campground. He frowned as he pondered their odd glances at each other, but then, just as the hikers had said, a view of scattered camping trailers appeared through the foliage. Eddie walked close enough to see the brown walls and rooftop of the restrooms and then stopped. "Let's just hold up here, boy," he said. "Everybody may not be as cool about you as the folks we've met so far." Snarly sat on the trail, waiting for their next move while Eddie studied him. "I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but I'm a bit surprised that people are taking your presence here so calmly." Snarly continued to stare at Eddie. "Well, let's head back to our camp and see if we can get a decent fire going. I'd like to put something warm in my belly, even if it's just beanie weenies. Snarly fell in step with Eddie, and soon they had fallen back into an even pace that seemed like they'd been walking together for years. Just when Eddie thought they'd been walking long enough to be getting pretty close to their campsite, Snarly Owl froze. His nose quivered again, and then he shot up the trail like an arrow released from a bow. Oh God, don't let him attack anybody. Eddie had only heard Snarly Owl bark once, but he knew that the deep, loud sounds that echoed through the woods had to be the wolfhounds. Eddie broke into a run, and within 2 minutes he was at backcountry number 4. Snarly was nowhere to be seen, but it was evident that someone else had been there. The wood Eddie had stacked to make his fire was strewn around the site, and the entrance to the tent was unzipped. Snarly's barking had stopped, leaving Eddie with no idea where to turn, even though he was frantic that Snarly might be attacking the trespasser. "Snarly!" Eddie called repeatedly, taking a few tentative steps into the surrounding woods in different directions. A rustling in the laurel bushes caught Eddie's attention, and the wolfhound bounded through and circled the campsite with his nose to the ground. "Good boy. Thanks for the effort, fella, but we don't have to catch him." Eddie turned to inspect. When Eddie stuck his head inside the tent, he saw that the contents of the backpack and carryall were scattered over the floor. As he put the items back in their proper places, he noted that nothing seemed missing. "Wonder what they were looking for," he thought. "Maybe it was just kids being jerks." Eddie gathered his firewood and stacked it again in a neat pile, and then reassembled the pieces he had prepared earlier for his fire. "Might as well go ahead and get the fire going, huh, big fella?" Snarly continued to explore the perimeter of their site, sniffing and snorting as if angered by the intrusion. When Eddie filled one of the dog bowls with dry dog food and the other with water, Snarly gave one last walk around the site and then settled for his supper. When Eddie felt he had established a good bed of coals, he placed the grill over the rocks he had repositioned within the fire ring and retrieved a can opener, a pot, and the can of Franks and beans from the backpack. Before long, he was sitting on a large oak stump watching the stars appear in the darkening sky as he ate. When he had finished cleaning up and stowing his utensils and trash, he spread a sleeping bag on the ground, arranging the stump so that he could lean against it, and stretched out on the ground with his hands clasped behind his head. Snarly settled beside him, but his eyes and ears indicated that his guard was still up. "This isn't so bad. I might not have needed to haul that tin in here after all." He closed his eyes, enjoying the sound of insects and the occasional chirping of birds and the sensation of his muscles relaxing so that he almost seemed to sink into the earth. A whining caused Eddie to open his eyes, and he realized that he had been soundly asleep. "What's the matter, fella?" Eddie followed Snarly Owl's gaze up into the heavens and was startled to see a bright light streak down to the horizon. "Wow, a shooting star. That was so..." Eddie broke off as another fiery light raced downward, followed by another and another. Eddie stared into the heavens in amazement as dozens of lights silently made their way to the earth, some far away and others seemingly only miles from them. "I've never seen anything like this," he said in little more than a whisper, as if speaking loudly would spoil the moment. "Even with the best meteor showers, you have to wait a few minutes between seeing them. But this..." His voice trailed off as a very bright light streaked in front of them. It passed so closely that the treetops were silhouetted against its glowing mass. Suddenly, the woods lit up in a bright flash that washed everything from Eddie's vision, and he braced for a blast of crashing sounds and ground-shaking vibration that never came. "Oh my God, that landed right over there," Eddie said. "But we should have heard something and felt it. I mean, something huge just crashed." He was standing with Snarly Owl right beside him, looking into the darkness, which gave no sign that something phenomenal had occurred. Eddie stared in amazement where he had seen the object disappear in a bright wash of light. "Come on, fella, let's check it out." Eddie rushed to the entrance of his tent and snatched the flashlight from the backpack. Snarly Owl followed Eddie as he jogged up the path toward the lot where he had parked his van. When he crested the first small hill on the path, he stopped and stepped off the path into the woods toward a sharp drop-off overlooking a small valley onto the hillside where he thought the meteorite, if it was a meteorite, might have fallen. In the moonlight, he could make out a large object amid the vegetation, possibly half a mile from where he stood. The thing might have been as large as a house before it had broken into huge pieces. It was visible only because the trees near it had been downed, although they looked as if they'd been felled many years earlier. Smaller trees and bushes grew all around it. The object was almost invisible, for its dirty surface reflected little light, although it seemed to Eddie that it was metallic in nature. "What is that?" Eddie said under his breath. "There's no way that just landed there. But what the hell is it?" He worked his way downward, gripping the trunks of slender trees to slow his descent and keep his footing. The hill on which the object sat disappeared from view as Eddie made his way into a small dip, which meant he had to climb a smaller hill in order to regain a view of the strange broken object. When Eddie crested that hill, the object was gone. The area that he had come to believe was a crash site looked exactly like the surrounding terrain, fully grown trees and underbrush that had been there for hundreds of years undisturbed. "What the hell is going on?" Snarleyowl stood silently beside Eddie, his ears stiff and eyes peering into the darkness. Eddie looked at the wolfhound and then back at where he thought the mysterious object should be. "What do you say, Snarly? Think you can get us back to our campsite if I get turned around down here?" The dog sat and thumped his tail twice. "I was hoping you'd say that. And kind of afraid you would, too." The underbrush was not so thick that it made passage unthinkable, so it wasn't long before Eddie had arrived at the area where he thought the large object should be. "I don't get it, fella. There's nothing here. Not anything that looks the slightest bit like something just fell out of the sky." He sighed deeply and scratched his head as he looked around. "I guess we might as well head back." Snarly turned and led their way back up the hill they had descended, this time with Eddie following. Just as they got to the point where Eddie needed to grasp the tree trunks to help himself up the last hill, he stopped suddenly. "Hold up, Snarly." A light flickered in the leaves of the trees to the east of where they had stopped, just over the side of another small ridge. "Let's check it out." When they got to the top of the ridge, Eddie saw that there was indeed a fire with several people seated around it. He resisted his first impulse to call out, eager though he was to know if they had seen the falling star he had witnessed. Something about the group suggested he observe for a while first. The people were dressed strangely, like the actors in a pageant dramatizing the history of the area. But these actors, if that was indeed what they were, looked nothing like the Cherokee or any other indigenous people Eddie had seen. Their skin was very pale, almost translucent, and the men had full beards. There were 9 in all, 5 men and 4 women, who sat in a circle around the fire. As Eddie watched, one man stood. He was dressed like the others but wore a shawl or stole around his neck that was made of material much different than their other clothing. It was silver and shiny, like the Mylar blankets Eddie had seen used in refugee and detainee camps, but it bore colorful symbols unlike any Eddie had ever seen. He spoke, and although Eddie did not know the words, the man's fervor and upraised arms suggested that he was praying. At intervals, the other men and women chanted along with him. At one point, the men rose, and each one stepped behind one of the sitting females. The leader with the stole reached into a pouch that hung at his waist and threw something into the fire, which erupted into tall, colorful flames, emitting sparks within a large cloud of smoke. 3 more times, the leader threw handfuls of powder into the fire, chanting as he did so, until smoke hovered over the entire group. The women gazed into the fire, but the men lifted their faces and stared at the smoke above them, which swirled with flashing light reflected from the flames. Humanoid shapes formed within it. Eddie stared in disbelief as the faces on these smoky shapes became visible. Monstrous faces with large black eyes, much larger than human eyes, and very little that suggested a nose or mouth. Their limbs were longer and thinner than the men who stood around the fire, and since they were not clothed, it was obvious they were male. The summoned figures never became fully corporeal. Eddie could see through their smoky bodies as each one took its place behind one of the standing men. The chanting human leader's voice grew louder and louder, and Eddie felt his own heartbeat pound stronger and more rapidly, syncing with it, until reaching a crescendo, the chanting abruptly stopped. At that point, the smoke men stepped into the bodies of the human males and disappeared. The humans gasped as this happened and opened their eyes, which Eddie saw had turned as black as the smoke men's eyes had been. The women broke off their gazing into the fire to turn and look up into the faces of the men who had paired with them. They accepted the outstretched hands of those men and rose to stand beside them. The leader turned and walked into the woods away from where Eddie watched, and the eight others followed hand in hand behind him. As Eddie watched, he became aware that a faint chorus of female voices floated out of the darkness. There were no recognizable words in the song they sang. Eddie wasn't even sure words existed in the beautiful, haunting melody. Just as the last couple in the eerie procession was about to step out of the circle of light given off by the fire, Eddie moved to follow them. He walked swiftly but quietly, keeping his distance while wondering what he would say or do if he were discovered. Once he, too, had stepped past the range of the fire's light, he noticed that he could easily see the men who had participated in the bizarre ritual, even in the darkness, for they reflected the moonlight much more than their partners or their leader. It was as if they walked beside shadows. They seemed to give off their own faint phosphorescent glow. The singing grew louder as Eddie and the group advanced. At one point, their path led them through a narrow passage of stone with a natural rock bridge above them. Eddie looked up and saw that other women dressed in the same traditional clothing of those in the ritual stood shoulder to shoulder along both sides and across the bridge, singing as they watched the procession that passed beneath them. They did not glow like the men whose bodies had been inhabited by the smoke men, but the moonlight illuminated them in such a way that Eddie thought they might be beautiful fairies from forgotten legends. One of the women looked down as Eddie was just about to pass under the bridge, a woman whose hair and eyes shone blue in the moonlight. She locked eyes with Eddie for a fleeting moment, and he froze. Eddie forced himself to look away, and noticed that the last couple was about to disappear as the path curved to the right around a rock wall. He moved to follow them again, with Snarleyowl silently keeping pace beside him, and saw that the procession had entered the mouth of a cave which yawned before them like the mouth of a mighty stone beast. At the entrance, Eddie hesitated for a moment, but then approached slowly as he peered into the darkness. The cave was deathly quiet. Even the singing from the maidens on the stone above the path had stopped. With his heart racing, he stepped cautiously into the cave and clicked on his flashlight, shining it before him to reveal only lichen-covered rock walls. The only sound was that of Snarleyowl's paws on the moist floor as they walked deeper into the cavern. But when they had gone far enough into the cave that the dim light from the entrance had disappeared behind him, his flashlight suddenly clicked off. The sudden and unexpected darkness enveloped him like a blanket. Although he could see nothing, a fit of vertigo washed over him, dropping him to his knees. Panic rushed through his entire body, and Eddie knew that he was about to pass out. But before he did, he heard the echoing patter of many small feet coming from deeper in the cave. The sound of deep barking roused Eddie from a dreamless sleep. The glow from the embers of the dying campfire cast just enough light to make out the silhouette of his tent and the edges of the woods around him. With an eerie sense of déjà vu, Eddie dashed into his tent and grabbed the flashlight from his backpack and entered the woods where he thought he had heard Snarley, although the barking had ceased. As he darted the beam of his flashlight all around the woods that surrounded him, something pounced on his back, knocking him to the ground. Sharp claws raked his back through the fabric of his shirt as the beast leapt off him and bounded into a laurel thicket. Movement from the surrounding bushes suggested to Eddie's frightened mind that there were multiple creatures running through the woods like the one that had jumped on his back. More rustling and barking marked Snarleyowl's passage, and as Eddie got to his feet, the wolf dog broke out of the foliage to stand beside him. "Come on, fella, let's get back to the fire. The campsite was just a few steps away, and Eddie grabbed a stout piece of firewood for protection as he and Snarly explored the perimeter of their site. When Eddie heard no more sounds in the brush, he gathered more pieces of fuel for the fire and had it blazing again within minutes. He got two bottles of water from the tent and poured out one for Snarly as he drank a third of the other in one guzzling motion. After fetching his sleeping bag from the tent and rolling it out in front of the log where he had stretched out before, he said, "I don't think I'm going to get much sleep tonight, but I might as well get as comfortable as possible while I keep this fire going." Eddie shook his head as he considered what others might think of how he talked to the dog, but somehow, speaking his thoughts aloud to Snarly Owl seemed perfectly natural and appropriate. He sat down on the bag and took another long drink. Snarly affirmed Eddie's decision to make himself comfortable by settling on the ground next to where Eddie leaned against the stump. Even though the wolfhound had relaxed his guard somewhat by reclining with his head on his front paws, Eddie could tell Snarly was still on alert by the perk of his ears and his wide-open eyes. Eddie smiled at the comfort he got from feeling the warm, massive body pressing against his hip. Eventually, Snarly closed his eyes, opening them only when Eddie got up to put more wood on the fire. They had both been asleep for some time when Eddie heard more movement from the bushes. He grabbed the hatchet which lay beside his sleeping bag and rose to his feet as he waited to see if this new visitor might make itself known. Snarly Owl slept on, undisturbed even by Eddie's movements. Eddie put two more branches on the fire and stood back to wait. The sound of soft footsteps was followed by a pale presence that stepped through the bushes to pause at the edge of the light thrown off by the fire. Eddie tried to speak, but his voice caught in his throat. The figure was the woman he had seen singing above him on the rocks near the cave, but now she held a bundle to her chest. A child, Eddie thought. I thought that was a dream.
Dreams can be just as real as waking life.
Eddie heard the feminine voice just as clearly as if she had spoken, but the woman had not moved her lips as she looked at him. Eddie knew also that she had not spoken in English, but he understood her nevertheless. "You can hear my thoughts?" Eddie did not say the words aloud.
"Just as you can hear mine."
"What do you want?" Eddie asked.
"The same as you. Peace."
"Who are you? Why did you follow me here?"
"Do not squander what you have, Eddie Bowen."
The woman shifted the bundle in her arms so that Eddie could see that it was indeed a baby. But the child's face, all that was visible in the bundle, was hideous. Its eyes were large and black without iris or sclera. The head was more oval than a human child's, large at the top with a pointed chin, and there were only two slits for a nose. The small gray hand that extended out from the swaddling clothes had only three long fingers that curled and flexed grotesquely in the firelight. The woman stepped forward towards Eddie, and even though the fire was between them, he took a step backwards. She kept walking, not blinking, not breaking stride, looking only straight into Eddie's eyes until she had stepped into the fire. The flames leapt up, just as they had when the shaman priest had thrown powder into the fire in Eddie's dream. But this time, instead of forming thick clouds of smoke, they enveloped the woman and her child, turning them into silent, skeletal figures that stared outward from the fire at Eddie until mother and child were consumed entirely. That's it, folks. The conclusion of The Moon-Eyed People, Episode 4. You know, Eddie doesn't seem to do very well with camping. Maybe he ought to consider staying in a motel. Just a thought. As usual, I want to mention that you can hear the music that inspired not only this episode, but the whole series at mombiyulman.bandcamp.com. And if you find yourself wondering what those murky shadows are in the dark corners, you can find out by joining our Dark Corners Facebook group. There's all kinds of dark fun going on there every day. And don't forget to visit my website, at davidallenvoiles.com. And buy a book, how about it? A man's gotta eat. All for now. See you next time in The Dark Corners.